the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
All right, guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Championship Rounds. Today is October 15th, 2018. It is a Monday, hot weekend of fights that just transpired. We got boxing, we got MMA. We're talking about Bellator, we're talking about the Heavyweight Grand Prix, we're talking about Terrence Crawford, we're talking about Jose Benavidez, we're going to talk about their matchup against each other, what happened, what I have predicted for the rest of welterweight with all these matchups that could take place between guys like Errol Spence, Showtime Sean Porter, Keith Thurman, and the list goes on and on. So we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to get right to it. So what are we going to talk about first? Are we going to talk about boxing? Are we going to talk about Bellator? What are we talking about? Let's start off with boxing. Let's talk about Terrence Crawford versus Jose Benavidez. That took place on ESPN last Saturday night. Actually had a chance to watch the highlights. I watched it first time live, but I was kind of distracted. I was actually at a Halloween party. But I did have a chance to watch it the second time around with some condensed highlights of what transpired during that fight. During that fight, it looked like that Terrence Crawford had a little bit of a difficult time. That's when I was watching it live. When watching the highlights, he looked great. Great composure and looked like a violent war. It looked like that Terrence Crawford, the second time around when I watched it, was able to breeze through. But Terrence Crawford is known for being a slower starter. He doesn't really get off until about round 6 or 7. But when he smells blood, he goes for the kill right away. If he smells blood, if you're standing opposite from him in the ring, you virtually have no chance in surviving at all. Testament to Benavidez's toughness, he hung in there. He made it tough for Crawford. It definitely wasn't as easy as I originally thought it was going to be for Terrence Crawford fighting a guy like Jose Benavidez, because I've never seen Benavidez fight before. But his size, it looked, you know, he looked pretty imposing. It's just a matter of Benavidez not being able to string together effective combinations down the stretch. That made it an easy fight for Crawford. I thought that he didn't have enough production. I think he needs to work on his production inside the ring. It was a great showing for the Benavidez camp. I'm not going to take that away from him, even though it didn't go their way. They had a great camp. Looks like they prepared well, but he ended up getting finished in the 12th round by Terrence Crawford. He needs to learn how to string combinations together, and he can for sure reach new heights in his career just by doing so. The second half of the fight, the output just simply wasn't there. Terrence Crawford was able to take advantage. Just wasn't enough combinations. I'm not sure if it was just him being gassed, not being well prepared on a stamina standpoint, but I thought that that's what led to his downfall, is just not being able to string together effective combinations down the stretch. But Terrence Crawford won the fight convincingly by knockout, technical knockout in the 12th round. Huge uppercut that he landed and flopped Benavidez to the canvas. Tremendous, tremendous uppercut. But let's examine the lay of the land at welterweight, shall we? So who do we got? We got Errol Spence. We got Keith Thurman. Showtime Sean Porter. We even got Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao, believe it or not, I believe is still firmly in the mix at welterweight. So where do we go from here? We ask this question every year, but I think it's at the point where we're all fed up on where this is headed. Top-ranked guys need to stop fighting top-ranked guys. Golden Boy guys need to stop fighting Golden Boy guys, so on and so forth. We got to see some sort of cross-promotion between all these different promotions to put on the big money fights that we want to see. Because obviously we want to see Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford. Who wouldn't want to see that? If Vasily Lomachenko moves up and waits some more, who doesn't want to see Vasily Lomachenko against a guy like Gervonta Tank Davis? Who doesn't want to see Gervonta Davis versus Vasily Lomachenko to see, you know, who the best guy is in the world in their division? But for the foreseeable future, I don't see that happening. Not anytime soon, especially with boxing politics getting in the way and meddling in fighters' business. Just don't see it happening. we ask this question every year. Why is it not happening? Is it money? Is it just protecting the fighters? Do we want to build them up some more, protect them for the time being, then once they reach a certain peak, you know, have them go up against each other? I don't think that's the way to go. We want to see these guys fight now. I think Spence is ready. I think Crawford's ready. And that's that. That's that. There's no point in watching these greats honestly waste time on talent within their promotion. Do promoters believe that these welterweight clashes won't make any money? I beg to differ. They'll make big money. Not as big as when Mayweather was around or when Manny Pacquiao went in his prime or Canelo money. But we're talking a decent amount of money here. We got guys like Terrence Crawford, who no one really gave a shit to watch last year or maybe even 2 years before that when he was fighting guys like Victor Postol on pay-per-view. We got celebrities and casual fans caring about Terrence Crawford now. That's a sign for promoters to step up to make these fights happen. What's the holdup? Honestly, what is the holdup? Because we're all sick of it. With Terrence Crawford, I'm not taking away anything away from his win. He won this fight convincingly. He would be my guy at welterweight against everybody if I were to go ahead and choose. Gun to my head, Terrence Crawford all the way against the guys that I previously just mentioned. I've kind of changed my mind. Okay? I have Errol Spence winning now. If you were to put up any of the guys I just mentioned against Errol Spence, I have Errol Spence winning. That's if Terrence Crawford won the fight convincingly, which he did, but I kind of expected a finish, maybe 7th round, 8th round. I definitely didn't expect it in the 12th round, but that's just Terrence Crawford being a slow starter. I'm choosing Spence now. Here's the reason. If he were to fight Terrence Crawford, I think Terrence Crawford, being the slow starter that he is, will leave him at a disadvantage. And Spence can develop a rhythm and control the pace of the fight. But that's just me. I think that developing the rhythm for Spence, being able to control the pace of the fight, and Terrence Crawford not hopping out the gates, you know, blazing hot, I think he could just goes through a feeling out process just for a little bit of a extra time than he should be allowed to. I think a feeling out process for Terrence Crawford should be at least the first 2 rounds, but he goes on sometimes 3 rounds, 4 rounds, 5 rounds, whatever it may be. He's a slow starter. He doesn't start hot off the gates. He feels out his opponent. He switches stances from time to time. He gets a feel for what's going on. But Terrence Crawford is one of those guys where if he smells blood, he's knocking you out once he smells it. But I think that if he were to go and fight Errol Spence at this point forward, advantage is Spence. And once again, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. And that's enough with Terrence Crawford. This past weekend, we had 2 Bellator events, 2 fights for the Heavyweight Grand Prix. So a lot to touch on this weekend, but I'm just going to touch briefly on the main events that took place. So for the finals of the Heavyweight Grand Prix, we got Fedor versus Ryan Bader in the finals. I honestly don't get the MMA world's fascination with Grand Prix. You know, we saw it a bunch with Pride. We saw it with Strikeforce. I don't think we've seen it once with the UFC, but I could be mistaken. I really don't think so. We've had tournaments to see who would have the belt for their division, but we don't see any Grand Prix as far as handing out a trophy to the winner and giving them a check. That's just not how the UFC operates. They're more legitimate than that. They don't prove anything to me at all. To earn a trophy and a big fat check, who the fuck wants a trophy? I mean, it looks nice. I mean, the promotion probably paid a lot of money to manufacture that trophy and give it to the winning fighter, but trophies don't mean shit to me at the end of the day. Well, Fedor, on the road to the finals, he's had a more spectacular road compared to Bader, simply coming down just to finish his alone, finishing Frank Mir, finishing Chael Sonnen. But there was something off about that Fedor-Chael Sonnen fight. I don't know what it is, but it has come down to me making conclusions on Chael Sonnen taking dives and fights once he crossed over from the UFC to Bellator. We're talking about his fight against Tito Ortiz, where I personally feel he could have easily won. Tito Ortiz has had a history of back issues. He's not the same Tito Ortiz from 15 years ago. Not even close. From all the surgeries he's had, all the injuries he's had, and at his age, at this point forward, I thought that Chael's a superior fighter, and he's a superior athlete at this juncture. But he didn't get the job done. I think he might have thrown that fight. And I thought he might have thrown this fight against Fedor. He had a dominant position. I think he had Fedor's back, and then he did some sort of flip, and Fedor was able to land some ground and pound on him. And I don't know, it's just bizarre to watch. It was like watching Royce Gracie and Ken Shamrock, or even better, watching Ken Shamrock versus Kimbo Slice in Bellator. It just wasn't appealing to watch for me. He was giving up dominant positions in favor of getting his ass kicked. That's just what I see. It's stuff like this where I feel casual fans are alienated from Bellator, and why they don't see it as legitimate competition to the UFC. So on to the night before that, Ryan Bader fought Matt Mitrione and beat him in classic Bader fashion. He wore him out, dominated him on the ground. He worked submissions. It looked like he almost submitted Mitrione with a Kimura. Mitrione was able to work out of the Kimura, but Bader at the end had just had so much successful ground and pound. He was able to go on for days on the takedowns, push him up against the fence, impose his will, all that stuff. Who wins the finals? So we got Fedor and Ryan Bader in the finals. Who wins? Simple. I got Bader because I don't know how Fedor is going to survive on the ground. I'm not saying Fedor is no slouch by any stretch of the imagination, but I think he gets outworked and outclassed on the ground. And Bader's gas tank never goes empty. So with that being said, Bader's taking the Grand Prix. Simple. We've seen Fedor work from the ground, and we've seen, you know, he could possibly still knock out Bader with that one punch. Fedor has that freakish MMA power where he could knock out Bader with one punch. And Bader's chin's been tested before. If we're talking to Anthony Rumble Johnson put that shin to the test and knocked him out back when they fought in the UFC about 2 years ago. But I think Bader takes home the trophy. I don't even know if it's even a trophy. Or is it for the belt? I don't know. But they call it a Grand Prix, and Grand Prix typically end in a fashion of giving out a trophy. We're talking about trophies too much. That's why I hate Grand Prix. The Grand Prix don't mean nothing to me at all. It's just a big money grab for the promotion and for the fighters. That's all it is. On a side note, I watched Ben Henderson perform against Saad Awad. Put on a show, and he looked like the Ben Henderson of old. Mixed it up with kicks. Used them to his advantage, had great control on the ground, and had awesome transitions. Congratulations to Ben Henderson on being back. We'll see if he enters the title picture again in Bellator. At this juncture in his career, being at his age, he's been there, he's done that, he's beaten the best in the world in the WEC, in the UFC. Let's see if he could string together a couple wins at Bellator finally. Enough of Bellator. Let's go back to boxing. Let's transition over back to boxing. So, last week, I said that we're going to talk a little bit about Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury and their fight that's going to happen in a couple months in December in LA. That's going to be a fun matchup to watch for a bunch of different reasons. A clash of polar opposite styles. The technical and quick Tyson Fury and the brutal, violent puncher in Deontay Wilder. Very, very brutal and violent one-punch power that Deontay Wilder possesses. I don't want to break down the fight tonight because I want to save that for another show. You know, it's fascinating to watch them hype up the fight because they're two completely polarizing, wild, obnoxious personalities, quite frankly. But I enjoy it. I enjoy Fury. I enjoy Wilder's trash talk. Don't really enjoy his fights too much personally, but you know, I could watch them trade barbs all day and throw insults at each other. So if I were to touch on the build-up, I think both guys have been marketing the fight as well as they possibly can and have gotten a lot of people interested. You know, and that's what's making it fun for me. They make it fun for everybody. I admire the mutual respect for one another, and I know you see them trading insults back and forth and whatnot, but you know, just by watching them, they respect each other's skill sets, and, well, whatever skill sets Wilder might have. But you see that genuine admiration. They know that that they're tough guys, and they're not going to give in to one another. That's what makes the fight so fascinating. Wilder has freakish power, I'll give him that. And sometimes that's all it takes. But we'll just see if he gets it done in December in LA, live from the Staples Center. This is going to be a short one, folks. It's not as long as the other episodes have been. Just wanted to briefly touch on all those fights that took place over this weekend. Next week, what should we talk about next week? Oh, I know. I already got a topic in mind to talk about next week. Next week, I want to do something a little bit different. Maybe get a guest involved, one or two guests, who knows. Or maybe just do it by myself and, you know, we'll have some fun with it. But for next week's episode, I want to do a retrospective on a topic very near and dear to my heart. And that's HBO boxing. Recently, they folded. HBO folded their boxing division. We're not going to see boxing on HBO anymore after decades and decades of classic moments and classic fights. We're not going to see Jim Lampley. We're not going to see Roy Jones Jr. We're not going to see Max Kellerman at ringside. I know they got a couple cards going on to close out 2018, but after 2018's over, we're not going to see HBO boxing anymore. I want to do a retrospective, kind of like what I did a couple episodes ago with Jon Jones. I did a career retrospective on his career and going over his big fights, him winning the belt, and then his eventual downfall, which I hope I'm still wrong about. I want to see him. I want to see the resurrection of Jon Jones. I want to see him back. But I want to do a retrospective on HBO boxing. I want to go over the highs, the lows, the memorable moments, the memorable fights, the commentators, the production, the fight build-up, you know, the budget that they had to produce those, you know, Emmy award-winning 24/7 boxing specials. Those pre-fight show episodic build-ups. I want to see, you know, I want to talk about how they were able to, you know, come up with that concept and to make it work for so many years. We'll talk about the production, the unfortunate demise of what was once a great sports franchise. Well, this is going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. But that's it, guys. That's the championship rounds for this week. I know it was a shorter episode. I wish I could deliver you guys something more in-depth. Something longer. Something, maybe a guess. Maybe a guess is what I need to freshen this up a bit. You know, this is the first time back in a couple months. Last week's episode didn't really turn out the way I wanted, but I was able to get the job done. I hope I was able to get the job done this week as well. But that's this week's episode of the Championship Rounds. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll catch you all later. You guys have a good night.